Itzel has served Master for a few years now. She's observed the strange goings-on at the ranch. She learned how to survive the harsh, burgeoning West. But when forced to care for Master's newborn after the death of his wife, Itzel finds herself in a struggle against forces from the darkest heart of man's desire. Can Itzel survive the transgression? Pick up your copy of The Transgression by Robert Piatone at mythmart.com and other online retailers. Grace Ketu lives a meager life in a town the world forgot. No water, no electricity, no heat, and definitely no kindness can be found. But she is determined to give her little sister Brooke the best childhood she can. She also vows to protect her at all costs, and cost her it does. One mistake, one moment of enraged passion, and she is thrown in jail for murder, leaving Brooke unprotected. Just when all hope seems lost, a mysterious man offers her a deal she can't refuse. Protection and security for Brooke, in exchange for her loyalty and her life. Grace dies and Scarlet Vulpus is born, a contract killer for the Murder Society. Get your copy from breakout author Jessica Alexandria, available on MythMart and other online retailers.
And now, enjoy this free JZO Modcast show.
Hey there, this is Ralph Garman, and you are listening to the World of Myth Bits. You made an excellent choice.
G'day from SA. This is Tim here with episode 267 of the World of Myth Bits. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the World of Myth Bits. I'm Tim, your host, and I've been your host for a little while now, so hopefully you've got used to my Aussie accent. We have a massive episode for you as I cast your mind back again to 2005, and this time I will be attempting to review the July through to December magazines. Before we get into that though, let's just have a quick look at any messages from El Presidente, Mr. David K. Montoya. And I've got here a few things for housekeeping that he wants me to tick off. So, first of all, open contract challenge, round one, pitches. Your pitch, you can submit. The submission for pitches is currently open until the 26th of April. So there's a bit of a window there, about a month, I'd say, where we can submit our pitches. This is literally for chapbooks, novellas, novels, poetry books, maybe comic books. It's any idea that a creator can come up with is eligible to be submitted as a pitch to the Open Contract Challenge. This is the sixth Open Contract Challenge run by Dark Myth, run by David and Steph, I believe, are both jointly involved, and Walt. Walter G. Esselman, I believe it is also in the thick of it there somewhere. Keep in mind that if you have been one of the initial five winners of the Open Contract Challenge already, you cannot submit a piece. It's you win it once and that's it. I think down the track sometime they're hoping to run like a top 10, best of the best open contract challenge, perhaps. I may have come up with the idea, or David may have had the idea already. I think that's a bit blurry to, as to, to how that came about, but just wanted to let you all know, open contract challenge, round one, currently open. Open till the 26th of April. So get your pictures in now. Number two, James Rumpel's ebook Escape will begin its production for its April release. That's pretty exciting. Congratulations, James. Can't wait for that to be available on mythmart.com. Lettering for American Smash 1/2 is near completion for Free Comic Book Day. That's also very exciting news. And I know Dave's reached out to a few of us Aussies about places where this free comic book may be able to be distributed. So that's very exciting. A global release of this free edition of American Smash. Also, open call for submissions for Monsterthology 3. I can say 3. Monsterthology is a much harder thing to say. But anyway, we at Zombie Works Publication are ready for 2024 and are currently seeking short stories to go into our all-new Monsterthology 3. Yes, it's back for a third time for a new volume. Like the previous two anthologies, we are looking for short stories that involve classic horror movie monsters. Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, you know the classics. We request that all submissions be in a doc format, double-spaced, and 12-point font, which is standard format. Underline all italicized words, or they could be missed in editing and not put in print. We are asking for each story to be between 2,000 and 3,000 words in length, and content must be between a rated PG-13 to rated R. Please no NC-17 or rated X stories. They will be rejected as our contract with the printer does not allow us to produce that sort of content. The deadline for these stories is August 31st, 2024. The reason why we're announcing this now is because we want this to be a bumper, bumper, bumper anthology. So lots and lots and lots of stories. Send them in. Send the word out. Tell your friends. Zombie Works Publications will pay 20 cents per book per author. Also, the book will be carried by MythMart, Amazon, and other online carriers. Please send your submissions to Zombie Works Publications at yahoo.com. And that's it. That's what we've got for the housekeeping. So let's jump straight into my notes. And here we go. July 2005, issue number 11 of the World of Myth magazine. Such an unusual cover for this issue. But then you click on the cover and everything makes sense. This is a very special issue, a tribute to an incredible artist of the late 60s. And that wonderful decade, the 70s, Chief Editor Terry gives an in-depth background in the same vein as a Michael Arnold art review. I cannot believe I've not heard of Vaughan Bodet. Or have I? Maybe it's the sort of the stuff that I've had a look at from Terry that he seems more familiar now. But yeah, it's incredible artist. Incredible artist. But I sure as heck know about him now. That's for sure. Examples of Vaughan's works, an interview with his son Mark, and so much more. So let's get straight in and explore issue number 11 of the World of Myth magazine. We've got one fantasy story, one horror story, an action and suspense story, five poems, five works in the gallery, but a lot of those are works from the author. Not works from the author, works from the artist. Congratulations to L. Craig Woods for Member of the Month in a close one. That was almost three in a row now for L.M. Mercer. So congratulations, L.M. Myth Forum is back. Yay! Movie trailers? Except that the link's not working anymore. Reviews? And of course, the interview with Mythmaster and Mark Baudet. Fantasy, the Empire. Orion of Storm Shall Part 2 by L. Craig Woods. This is epic. I'm butchered the title and I apologize, L. Craig Woods for that. But this was really cool. This is great high fantasy, full of political intrigue. Very, very cool writing. And then on to horror. The Greenhouse Murders Part 4 by L.M. Mercer. And this continues on through the rest of the year with the high chance that that there'll even be more parts to come. So I love the way that Terry changes the border color for each story. And this one's a sickly green. It's very, very clever of him. The plot thickens as an online search reveals a major clue for Justin and especially for Susan. Such a great story. This is really cool. I'm really enjoying it. And then on to action and suspense. The End, Story 1, Day 2, by David K. Montoya. What a thrill ride this one is. Such dystopia with a cast of creative characters. The suspense is killing me, just as the sickness turns the living into the undying. Then on to poetry. Fare Thee Well by Majika, reminding us that all is never what it seems. Majika is a new name I don't think I've come across before now. Very cool poetry. Very, very talented poet. And then Final Farewell by L.M. Mercer. This one's so sad, so powerful, such a personal moment. So thank you for sharing that with us, LM. And these types of like high emotional moments are what fuels poets and what produces some incredible poetry. Then To Awake Elsewhere by Girl of Myth. Rebecca. This one's mystical. The heavenly bodies, inspirational imagery for life. I love everything you do, Rebecca, but your poetry is something else. And then Why by Caesar and Victor Castro. Why indeed? A son's final message to a father. This one was really, really moving. And being a father myself and a son, this one really got me. And then onto the next poem, Within by Kevin Magnus. This one's a strange, I noticed first of all the strange bio for Kevin. He's been submitting for a while now, I thought, and yet his bio was saying he's a new submitter. This is yet another reflective piece. Not happy at all, but deeply thought-provoking. A cry for help, or maybe an acceptance of the dark that plagues so many. This one, as always, a very interesting poem from Kev. Very, very interesting. And then on to the gallery. Panel from Cobalt 60, 1968. By Vaughan. Really cool. So simple, but so cool. That's the notes I've got here. They're just such a brilliant artist, so ahead of his time. And then Dondi from Deadbone, 1970. Vaughan again. Clever, amusing, black and white panel. Just so simple, but so cool and so clever. Definitely clever. It's a real pity that he's not around today producing art. Tribute to Vaughan Baudet by Mock.
These are the Bode Broads, a trio of tasty titbits. And this is so true to title, Mock. So clever and so titillating, I guess, is probably the best word for it. And then Fallen Angel by Girl of Myth. And all I can say to this is, wow. I love the slanted halo of this one and the playful wink until you see what she's actually holding in her hand. Clever, Rebecca. Very, very clever. Homeward by David K. Montoya. I can see the artist Vaughan in this piece. The hat, the stance, a man on a mission only he understands. Very, very cool art. And then movie reviews. Balcony Betty does a big favour for moviegoer Grimm. Two films get the fine-tooth comb this month. Hands of Way? Oh, House of Wax. Sorry, I can't read my own writing. All right, House of Wax and Hostage. Thanks to Paris Hilton, House of Wax gets 2.5 howls, while Hostage gets the full 4 howls. Nice, Betty. Ho, 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 ho. Betty gives great reasons for her scores. I hope to see her pop up again in future issues. And in For Your Information, Terry reveals to the readers some personal, terrible, and terrifying news. Such news has led him to leave behind something for family and friends to remember him by. Thanks, Terry, for everything. This is pretty big news at this point in time for the company. And I think just that interview that I did with David K. Montoya a few issues ago, just talking about Terry and how he still thinks about his mentor, the sort of the role that Terry's played, especially in the early years of the world of Dark Myth and the world of Myth, and other projects that that Dave was involved in as well. So yeah, for Terry to be able to leave that legacy, that sort of book behind, is for those that know him and those that love him, incredibly important. And then for the FYI section, the month in Myth, Quintilis, Julius Caesar. So this is for July, my month, my birthday month. And I had no idea, Quintilis, the fifth month. Julius Caesar gave this month its 31 days. And I believe I might be correct in jumping ahead to August and Terry mentioning in August that the Senate stole a day from February to add to August. I'm assuming that Julius Caesar with the Senate stole a day from February to give July 31 days. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure. And then feeling guilty, the Roman Senate named it July. So Julius Caesar gave it 31 days, and then the Roman Senate named it after Julius Caesar. So many famous birthdays and death days. P.T. Barnum, the sucker born every minute. Arnie, I'll be back. Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks. Bob Hope, Barry White, and of course, Vaughn Bidet. And then finishing off July with Mythmaster and the memory of a creative son. Such a special glimpse into a childhood full of encouragement and creativity. A touching tribute to a great artist ahead of his time. And then on to August, issue 12. very cosmic cover, almost Matrix-ish, very, very digital, Gremlin in the Machine. Yeah, very cool. There's a promise of a September interview with El Presidente, Mr. K. Montoya. Looking forward to that. Very brave of you, Dave and Terry, of course. Brave to open up the questions to the readers and submitters. But that open and honestness has always been the Montoya way, has it not? August sees LM with Contributor of the Month, L. Craig Woods concludes Chronicles. Big question mark. Why the question mark, Terry? And then when you actually read it, you find out. The usual crew keep us entertained, and Majika and Balcony Betty are back. So let's have a look at August and Fantasy. The Empire Chronicles, Orion of Stanishall, Part 3 by L. Craig Woods. So clever of the author to leave this one wide open. For the end of Theobald in the kingdom of Stranishol bodes to be the beginning of him plotting his return or his revenge. Or he seems like a bit of a plotter, but the sort of plotter that will go ahead with the plan. Yes, there's an evil element there. And then horror, Greenhouse Murders Part 5 by L.M. Mercer. This story takes a bizarre and interesting turn or twist or whatever you wish to call it, as the past comes to haunt Justin and reveal to him a great clue. Hopefully Susan can believe such strangeness. Then action and suspense, the end, story one, Border Town. Is Haven real? As we draw closer to Vegas, the doubt grows. Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying this one, Dave. It's short, it's tight. Some interesting characters. Okay. Visitor or prisoner? Friend or foe? Luckily, there's a second chapter where we might get to find out. That's right. This was the August. There were two of Dave's the end, and so then we move on to Paradise City, Montoya. We meet Arch Commander Patrick and the Emperor. Electricity and running water are something we take for granted, but in this world, Paradise City seems the only place you can find it. Paradise City may not be such a utopia after all, though. And then on to poetry. A Note on the Water by Majika. I love the images created by these words. A risk, a challenge, and patience is what shall be the great revealer. Then The Fear of Forgetting by Kevin Magnus. Pratchett has a saying, as long as a name is spoken... Sir Terry Pratchett has a saying. Something along the lines of, as long as a name is spoken, they can never truly die. Kev captures this idea in his very, very powerful poem in this instance. So well done, Kev. And then 60 Degrees Placed in a Square by Rebecca C. Lofgren. Another powerful personal piece. Rebecca, I wonder if your poems of now are mirrors of what was created by your younger self. Then The Wait by L.M. Mercer. Oh, wow. So much emotion. A parent's worst feeling is during the wait. Such a strong piece. Something no one should experience, and yet so many do. Then, sadly, the pieces from the gallery, Dave's told me that there was a hack around this period, and a bit of art was lost. And sadly, we've had Rest in Peace, Grim Reaper, and Life in the City, all by David K. Montoya, and all, sadly, unable to be reviewed. So then we move on to the movie reviews, and Balcony Betty is back. And try saying this fast. I struggle with the first word. Balcony Betty is back and begins with Batman Begins. And Batman Begins gets massive hearts and massive howls and very, very, very happy to agree with you on this film. Betty, Batman Begins, very cool. And then Kingdom of Heaven. And from the sound of things, Orlando Bloom is the only thing for Balcony Betty that saves this one. So if you do want to sit down and watch a movie of old, and you're an Orlando Bloom fan, Balcony Betty reckons this is the one to pick. And then Mr. and Mrs. Smith, lots and lots of howls of pleasure for that one. Good action, action film. I believe it's the one, the set where Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie met and actually started a relationship. That's probably something that everybody else knew, already. So we all know how that worked out though. And then The Pacifier, Disney film with Vin Diesel, and surprise, massive howls, big ticks. Did not expect a Disney film about the pacifier. With a Disney film with Vin Diesel in it to be so action-packed. And then FYI, the August month, Sextilis, of course, being Sextilis, sex being this number six in Latin, Roman, 6 month, of course. A day stolen from February, and the name change thanks again to the Roman Senate. Lots of famous birthdays and claims to fame. And in the north, it is the hottest month of the year. In the south, certainly is not the case. I can tell you that. Mythmaster interview with Jimmy Palmiotti. Marvel Royalty, another great revealing interview by the Mythmaster. Well done, aka Terry, I believe. And then we move on to September, issue number 13, Happy Anniversary. This is a 12-month anniversary for the World of Myth magazine, started in September 2004. This is a great Japanese-inspired cover. Kicking off with a huge thanks to all who have helped the World of Myth evolve into the great juggernaut that refuses to slow down. Plenty of great stories, poetry, art, and a trio of movie reviewers. So, let's go. Fantasy and Dead and Ferried by Terry D. Shearer. What a clever story. Death and Beyond takes an unusual turn. The destination is always the same, whether the journey is long or direct. Yeah, I like this. This was very, very clever by Terry, looking at Egyptian mythology again. Yeah, so read the story. I'm sure that you'll love it too. And then Cavern by Terry again. First ever Flash for the World of Myth magazine. And how many Flash pieces do we get now? So this was what paved the way. So those of us who send in those very, very short stories, you have Terry D. Shearer to thank for that. First ever Flash piece. Well done, Terry. Yeah, for paving the way. Very, very cool. He was a trendsetter. Greenhouse Murders. We get into horror. This is Greenhouse Murders number 6 by L.M. Mercer. I am truly intrigued about Justin and Susan and this strange cold case of Susan's past that has come back to haunt this pair. Then Action and Suspense, The End, Story 1, The Lead Up by David K. Montoya. So Roman, so utopian. So now I wonder if society will go if everything goes to poo. There's a lot that can potentially go wrong. And it sounds like there's a lot The surface looks nice, but underneath there's a lot of grim grime and yuckiness. And then poetry. Tasteless Indifference by Shadow. Shadow with the two Ds. Trained by Girl of Myth. Shadow is a new contributor with many an angst. I see what I've done there. I've got axe and then I've combined it with angst. Angst to grind. Yes. Is this your darker half, Rebecca, perhaps? I don't know. The great poem. And then He Loves Me by Poppy, another new poet, a tale of love and being loved, I suppose. A tale of loved and beloved. Then Love's Weekly Visits by Girl of Myth. Love not reciprocated is love doomed to fail. Then Reflection by Majika. Poetry as mysterious as the poet. Dave, there's no author background details for Majika. Hence the element of mystery. And then DUI by L.M. Mercer. Oh, wow. What a twist. Then Life 2 by Kevin. Kevin Magnus. Kevin's wandering down the dark path continues. Then we wander into the gallery where we find Love and Alone by Rebecca. And this is the cool cover. A very, very cool cover for this edition of the magazine. And then next by Mock, this is a horrific image of the Grim Reaper. Then Monster Within by David K. Montoya's. David K. Montoya. The eyes capture you straight away and refuse to let go. Then My Best Friend by Girl of Myth. Rebecca, this is such a cute puppy. This is, you are obviously very well inspired by the animal in your life. This is quite a sweet one. And then Family Revisited. Sadly, this is another piece that's missing. And then Dreams by Terry. Alas, this is missing as well. And then we move on to the movie reviews. And we start off with Betty, with Balcony Betty with Fantastic Four. She thought it was an all right film. For a comic book, based on a comic book, it was okay. Then Alien vs. Predator. What is it about Alien vs. Predator that everyone wants to review this film? Betty thought it was pretty good. Then Grimm, The Ring 2. Not as good as the first one, I guess. And then Sin City. Epic, epic comic book film. Definitely. I could not agree more. Grimm, very, yes. Nice choice. Nice work. And then Reaper Rick with Flesh and Blood. Lots of a howls of pleasure here from Rick. And then The Blood of Heroes. More wows, more smiles, more yes, yes, yes. These are Rick's kind of films, I gather. And then Interview with Creature of Myth. So the Mythmaster has taken a break, and Creature of Myth has actually taken on the interview with David K. Montoya, a very revealing interview with a number of surprise responses. Great questions, everyone. And well done, Mr. David K. Montoya, on surviving your time in the spotlight. And October 2005, issue number 14, a vampiric cover. Bloody awesome. Halloween edition, with some classic tales getting a World of Myth makeover. So let's check it out. Don't be scared. I'm your guide. And we first of all venture into the misty realm of fantasy, where Mr. David K. Montoya revisits Sleepy Hollow, a clever retelling of a tale well known by many. Great job, David. I like the little twists and turns, the sort of the way that you differed from the traditional story, and the end. Oh, mwah, just clever. Then Nessie by L.M. Mercer. Oh my, or should be ach ay, should it? Ach ay, lads and lasses. I love this one. The mystery of the monster of Loch Ness is finally revealed by L.M. Mercer. And in such a delightful way. Then The Witch Hunt. L.M. again. So saddening and frustrating, the blind faith of those who cry witch. How many died due to the faith of those, the faith and foolery, I suppose, of those in power. And then we move on to horror. So cool to have such an interesting horror story in our Halloween edition of the World of Myth magazine. This is Greenhouse Murders Part 7 by L.M. Mercer. More clues, people clues, and a house. The story of Emma and Archibald grows more and more interesting. But how that relates to Justin and Susan, I guess we will just have to wait to find out. And then The Telltale Heart by Terry D. Sheeran, with apologies to Edgar Allan Poe. I don't know if an apology was really necessary, Terry. This was a terrific retelling. Poe would have been very proud. Indeed. Yeah, I thought this was a really, really cool story. And then Action and Suspense, we move on to the end. Story 1, Gladiator by Mr. David K. Montoya. Richard the Gladiator. Not something I would have thought I would have been saying. Not something I thought would be possible. This is such a great scene that you've depicted here, Dave. Definitely. Very, very cool. Very, very graphic. Very, very well well written. And then we move on to poetry. And a poem by Terry D. Shearer. Halloween. Such poetic fun. Enjoying the festivity while giving a nod to tradition. Yeah, so this, yeah, I like this one, Terry. And then Passionate Pink by Poppy. Very passionate, this one. Such vivid imagery. Such beautiful young love. Then When Time Takes a Laugh by Girl of Myth. Is the Girl of Myth reflecting upon time's true nature with this one? Night's Lullaby by L.M. Mercer. The peace and joy of the silence, the treasurable moments for only those who can truly stop to listen. Then My Nightmare by Kevin Magnus. Kevin makes me wonder about my own sins and the path that I am walking. And I'm sure for any reader willing to go back to issue 14 and read My Nightmare by Kevin Magnus, you'll probably be feeling the same thing. Then Vampires, Kev again. I love the rhyme pattern of this terrible scene. Not what you want to have happen to you, Halloween. Certainly not at all. And then in the gallery, we've got Pretty Deadly by Rebecca, Girl of Myth. Another killer cover from this artist. This could easily be one of the vamps from Kevin's poem. Creature of the Night, drawn by David K. Montoya and inked by his sister Rebecca. And sadly, it's missing. And again, Frankenstein by David K. Montoya. Again, missing. Who steals art from a website? Like, honestly. Yeah. I need to see these pictures. And yet, sadly, I fear we never will. On to movie reviews. Betty and Rick. Betty does Skeleton Key, which is pretty cool. I enjoyed this, like the voodoo, the sort of the build up and the ending and the suspense, and yeah, very, very cool film. And Rose Red, Betty really, really enjoyed that as well. The 1989 version of Phantom of the Opera, big, big ticks from Betty there. And then The Exorcism of Emily Rose is the best score that you can possibly give a film. So, yeah, that's, Betty's obviously really, really enjoyed that one. And then Rick, has gone back to the classics. The Raven, according to him, that's a must see. The Abominable Dr. Phoebes and Dr. Phoebes Rises Again. The first movie, a bit of a frown. No real terror, no real horror. But movie two, Dr. Phoebes Rises Again, much, much better. And then Slave of the Cannibal God, do not ever watch. Do not be dared to watch. According to Reaper Rick, a silly film that nobody should ever see. Worst movie ever, he's put here. And then, Myth of the Month, Terry finds some new October facts to share. No interview. Congratulations to Terry, though, on the September Member of the Month. I have to note that. And then moving on into November, issue number 15. This is a cool black and white cover. Dave, is this your work? I wonder. Illness Among the Ranks, is a small abridged edition. New addition to the group, Stephen Bolan. Movie trailer section dropped. A fantasy, a horror, an action suspense, four poems, three works in the gallery. Movie reviews from Betty and Rick. And November myth is Thanksgiving again. I reckon pretty similar. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Both got the reworks in the month of myth from 2004 and 2005. But let's get straight into fantasy and Blind Betty by Terry. Two characters in a bar have a truly enlightening moment. What does it mean to have absolute power and total happiness? Is it different to all of us? Yeah, I like this one, Terry. This one was pretty cool. And then Dark House Murders Part 8 by Ellen Messer. Family trees slot puzzle pieces into place, but the voice from beyond and bad news causes Susan and Justin moments of concern. Then Action and Suspense, The End, Story 1, Aftermath by David K. Montoya. Gritty and gripping, the true nature of Paradise City is revealed. Make sure that you go back and read these stories. I wondered, Dave, did The End end up getting published by Dark Myth? I hope so. And if it hasn't, you need to go back and you need to get this one out here. Out there, man. Definitely. Okay, poetry. Call of the Dead by Steve Bolan. I guess it is a core? What have I written here? I guess it is a... I guess it's a case of if you can't beat them, join them. Well done, Steve. Good work. Death's Hand by L.M. Mercer. What a beautiful way to depict someone's final moments. Tell Me by Poppy. Such a great question, Poppy. Why run, indeed? I wonder. What are you doing, Poppy? You've scared them away. My Phantom Love by L.M. Mercer. Pining for love, unreal, unattainable, the greatest curse. Then Gallery, The Face of Evil by David K. Montoya. Ashes to Ashes by Girl of Myth. Another awesome cover art. Lonely Warrior by David K. Montoya. So sadly, the two by Dave missing again. Maybe. maybe I will be satisfied by the movie reviews. Missing art gets me so frustrated, especially when it's such talented artists. Movie reviews. Betty, Corpse Bride, big thumbs up. Lots of happy smiles. The Nightmare Before Christmas, such a classic, classic film. Beetlejuice, even more massive smiles. And then she's gone to Supernatural TV, the TV series, and four howls for that. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. Thank you, Betty. And then Rick. So we've had a look at Corpse Bride and Nightmare Before Christmas. And so Rick then does Edward Scissorhands as well. Dark fairy tale. Lots of love for this one. And then we've got, again, no interview. And finally, we move into issue 16, December 2005. Our cute but deadly Christmas fairy. Bumper Christmas edition. Congratulations, newcomer Steve Bolin, on November Member of the Month. 2005 highlights. Mythmart opening soon. This is pretty cool. This is like looking back on the magazine and discovering when these things sort of fell into place and when these things happened. This is like glancing into history. Three times fantasy, three times horror, action suspense, the end story one, the great escape part one, five poems, four pieces of art, movie review. Hopefully all four pieces of art are there. The year in review, the month in myth, but again, no interview. Well done to Terry and to LM, who both got three Members of the Month awards, and congratulations to Kevin, Rebecca, L. Craig Woods, David K. Montoya, and Steve, who each got one apiece. So let us ring the Christmas bells and venture into fantasy, starting with Queen of the Westerlands by Terry D. Shearer. True fantasy gets an icy touch. Terry again shows just how good he is at crafting a tale. Then goes to Christmas Past by L.M. Mercer, a sad tale of disappearance, but a moment of mixed emotions at the end. The Night Before Christmas by David K. Montoya. What a strange tale this one proved to be. The Anti-Santa, come for a visit. Then horror. Greenhouse Murders Part 9, L.M. Mercer. Each puzzle piece that slots into place seems to reveal a more intense picture. Susan finds out more and more about a dark and frightening past. Will it end up being her future? Then The Testament by Sarah Wilson. Sarah seems to be a new submitter as well. Don't play around with things you only think you understand. Then Hate Mail by Steve Bolin. This one was very, very dark and spooky. I think we've sort of stepped out of fantasy and into horror. I don't know if I sort of mentioned that. But this one here is a cool story from Steve that will make many readers question the bump in the night. Then Action Suspense, The End Story 1, The Great Escape Part 1. David K. Montoya. Father and son enact a daring escape, but is there a plan and will it work? Then poetry, Christmas 05 by Kevin Magnus, a message of festive, lo, a message of festive spirit from the master of doom and gloom. This was touching. Yeah, so thanks, Kev. Nature Not So Quick by Rebecca C. Lofgren. I love the vision of this piece. Nature at its rawest and harshest. Then On Silent Night by L.M. Mercer, a mysterious visitor inspires goodwill. Classic Christmas. Youth Lost by Shadow. And all I can see for this one is, wow, 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 Shadow, you have nailed this poem title perfectly. Good Cheer by L.M. Mercer, such a beautiful reflection of a special time of year. And then into the gallery, Christmas Wizard by David K. Montoya is missing. Santa's Little Helper by Girl of Myth. Rebecca, is that like three covers in a row that you've done or more? Santa's Little Helper. There's a cute elf, but what is that red and white striped thing? I thought it was like a dagger or something, but then she's holding a wand. So, not sure. It's pretty cool. Pretty cute. And then Have a Smashing Holiday by David K. Montoya. And again, missing.
You must be so frustrated, David. I know I am.
Sweet Dreamer by Girl of Myth. So cute, so peaceful. This beautiful puppy that inspires you so, Rebecca. And then onto movie reviews. Balcony Betty has settled in as a regular reviewer. Brave to do no Christmas or holiday movies. Instead, we've gone sci-fi family film, Zanthura. And I like this one. Yeah, this one's pretty cool. I don't know if I want to disagree with you, though, Betty. Jumanji is, yeah, not so action-packed, but it's a classic for a reason. But she's given Zanthura massive, massive ticks and Jumanji not so much. And then Saw 2. Better than the first? And then Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire. There's lots and lots of love for that. Then Reaper Rick does a Jack Nicholson review. So Little Shop of Horrors. I didn't even know that Jack was in that. But classic, four massive hearts, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, epic film. Rick thinks so too. Witches of Eastwick. I remember Jack being in that. That was fun, a fun film. And then we've got a review of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, War of the Worlds, The Devil's Rejects. Do not watch The Devil's Rejects. Again, it's not a great film. Not according to Rick. And then end of year reviews. A quick overview. January through to November, a very busy and successful year. Then the month in myth, similar to December 2004. Always interesting to peek behind the curtain, though. Still no interview. The suspense is killing me. Hopefully we'll discover the big name in one of the 11 issues published for 2006. Until then, ciao for now. This is Tim signing off.